This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Coody, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
And we are back with a spring football edition of the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, alongside the big dog, Jeremiah Searles. I'm Jessica Coody. It's stuck. That nickname has stuck since the fall. I can't even remember why it's the big dog, but here we are, and that's all Greg and I talk call you on the show anymore. It's the big dog.
I sent a gif in a group chat that was like, the big dog's back, and it just stuck. I didn't anticipate it sticking, but it's back. It's definitely I'll wear it. There's worse nicknames to have. Let's put it that way.
You embrace a good nickname. So here we go. The big dog. Well, you first of all, update on your health. You've had shoulder surgery. All good. You good as new. Going to be swinging the golf club soon.
Yeah, I was actually out chipping in the front yard here a little bit ago with the little ones. It's Masters Week, right? You got to go out and hit the little golf ball around if it's Masters Week. But yeah, it went really good. 4 weeks as of today, so officially out of the sling, and now I can start doing some rehab, some strength exercises, and the goal is to be back golfing by the end of July. So we'll get back swinging around. But yeah, really glad I got that done. As unfortunate as it is, it's just necessary to do it sometime in the life.
Well, Searles did go out to practice over the weekend, so we're going to take a couple different episodes, and today we're going to dive into the offense, and next week or a couple weeks we'll dive into everything that we've seen from the defense, but we'll stick with the offense today. Of course, that's where we got to start. But before we get into all of the team stuff, you also were able to go on a full tour of the new facility. Not a lot of people have been able to do that. So what was your impression? What were your big takeaways of that brand new facility?
Yeah, I mean, I was in there this fall a little bit when they were still kind of building stuff around. There was a door open and I just kind of wandered my way in. But to have an official tour now that it's more complete, it's just amazing. I mean, it's better than, I'm going to say, 90% of NFL stadiums. It's the biggest weight room I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I think I've seen Planet Fitnesses that are smaller than our weight room. And, you know, just to walk through there and see the intentionality and the detail that was put into some of the designs, right? The way that the locker room is set up for the equipment room so they can set up for game day on a Tuesday or a Wednesday so they're not there until the wee hours of the night on a Friday night before a game, or the way that they've scheduled the cold tub where you can walk through what they deemed the car wash, where it sprays you down and then you walk directly down into the cold tub, and the way they have the float tanks and the nap pods, and like the camaraderie of why they scheduled, like, put the game room there so everyone could sit in there and enjoy themselves in a nice, easy spot. It just is very cool to see that they built it around making it a team, and you can feel that in there and how they've done it. And, you know, so that's it was really fun to walk around and see where that, you know, from where we've been, where I remember when I toured Nebraska's original facility, I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I can't imagine being a high school kid and walking in that facility and not thinking, like, this is where I want to spend my next 4 or 5 years developing as a player. So that was awesome. The weight room, I mean, being able to put 150 guys in one room and have them lift and go, I mean, I can't imagine the noise that place makes when it's full. Like, you know, music's blaring, you know, guys are yelling, weights banging and going. And, you know, it made me have a little bit of FOMO of like, man, I'd love to get a lift going in here. Like, can I come in on like a celebrity guest day lift or something like that? Because I bet it's just so much fun in there, which is why they wanted it, right? They wanted to have everyone in there at once, building the culture, grinding together. The doors are going to be open in the summertime, so it's going to be hot. It's going to be muggy. Like, it's just the vision of where this program wants to be is built in the weight room, and every football team is built in the weight room. So why not want to have all of your guys there and working together so that you can grind through it? I mean, I love everything about that new facility.
You know, you hit on this, and it seems to be one of the big things that when I've talked to players that they've really liked about it, but the recovery part of it. And since they've started working with this NFL staff, a lot of this staff that came from the NFL, and the importance of taking care of your body, you know, how important is that? How big is that when you start talking to some of these guys that maybe want to go to the next level? Hey, we're going to help you start understanding how to do that here in this new facility.
Yeah, you know, I tell guys, I mean, my clients stuff, hey, the best way to make a team is availability, right? You have to be healthy, right? You have to know that your body, what you put into it and how you take care of it and the maintenance that you do to it is what's going to make you go as a football player or not. And it's something I didn't really pay a ton of attention to until I got in the league. You know, I do the occasional cold tub, I jump with the Normatec boots, but even since I left college, really even just in the last 5-6 years, the performance science game has come such a long way. And to see Nebraska embrace everything about that, from the way that they do rehab with the BFR, the blood flow restriction machines, and the Firefly units and the TENS units, and you know, the game readies and everything that they've done for so long, they're just continuing to challenge to get better in the training room. Well, that thing carries over into the prehab and the ability to, hey, you have some deficiencies, let's get ahead of the game so that you don't get hurt, right? Like, all that stuff plays such a factor into the individual development of a player, but that leads to the betterment for the team, right? You want your best players on the field, especially at the end of the season when everyone's beat up. So if you can learn how to take care of yourself through spring ball, through the summer, it's going to lead to great things in the fall, because that's just going to be habits that continue so that you can be available and help your team go win football games in November.
Okay, again, before we dive into the football team, it was so packed out there on Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
And Greg and I talked about that. You know, they have the coaches clinic. Bill Belichick was there and spent a lot of time with this coaching staff. But just to see the amount of high school coaches that were there, what can that do? How good can that be in terms of when you start recruiting and you have these relationships and you're opening these doors to these high school coaches that are from across the country? I mean, Evan Cooper said, it was great. We want to see it even bigger. You know, they want to open these doors for these high school coaches across the country.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, the game of football is a giant brotherhood. It doesn't matter if you're in high school, college, the NFL. All of us at one point remember a coach or remember someone that got us into football. And, you know, if you can have a better development system through high school, it's going to lead them to be better players earlier in college. If you have better coaches in college, you're going to be a better player at the NFL level. You know, and coaches are always just looking for guys to just continue to develop. And so, you know, I love the approach of, hey, let's get everyone in here, give them all the tools to help young players develop, give them everything we can to help them be most successful. Because at the end of the day, everyone just wants each other to be successful. Now, you wouldn't do it with like your rival coaches, but you know, at a high school level, why not allow those guys to try and develop those players to the best of their ability?
Okay, where should we start? Should we start with the quarterbacks?
You know where to start.
We're going to start with the
QBs? Start with the quarterbacks. It's what everyone wants to talk about.
Okay.
Right? Everyone wants to talk about our boys.
Well, I was going to let you maybe start with the wide receivers, you know?
No, absolutely not.
Your favorite, or maybe the offensive line, but no, we will start
with offensive line goes last. You save the best for
the
last.
The best for last, the big guys. Okay, so QBs, let's first of all start with the guy that's returning, Heinrich Harburg.
Yeah.
He's a leader in the room. And you even said that when we were sitting there watching some of the practice, you can tell that he's a guy that's got Big Ten experience, the way he was carrying himself on the football field.
Yeah, and you know, and the more I watched him, the more I also started to see how much his throwing motion has truly changed.
Mm.
And, you know, I actually sent it to a couple of my buddies that are QBs and play college football. And I was like, hey, does this look different to you? And they're like, oh, man, that's drastically different. Like, it looks so much cleaner. And that's just a testament to, you know, the coaches and also how much work he's put into it. Because I did feel like he made some really good throws on Saturday. You know, some sidelines, some deep posts. You know, I thought he made good decisions, but his throwing motion just looks a lot better. You know, so I'm excited for him to take that next step, because yeah, you can see he just has a different presence about him than the two younger cats, and that's because he's played in Big Ten games. You know, that's just, you can't mimic that experience through practice. That's only something that you can get baptized through fire with, and he was. So, you know, excited for him to come back, be the leader in that room, and compete.
Okay, and then let's go in alphabetical order. How about Danny Kalen, the other freshman? You can see his talent on full display too. I mean, I've seen him make some heck of throws out there throughout the couple practices that I've watched too.
Yeah, you know, for a young kid, he was really impressive. You know, you never know what you're going to get with a freshman, but I thought that he handled the offense well. I didn't see a ton of him freaking out trying to get guys lined up or people not knowing what the play call was. And he had a beautiful, beautiful deep shot out of there on the furthest, I believe it was the furthest east field. You know, I was watching him play action, stood in the pocket strong, delivered it in timing. And that's the biggest thing with young quarterbacks is, can they deliver it on time, right? Can they deliver on time? Can they stay within the concept of the route, understand the protection, and get the ball out? So, yeah, you know, for I think he's going to be a great one. You know, he's big, too. I think he's got a chance to put some weight on in the weight room. So I really like the way he carries himself.
All right, and then Dylan Raiola, and again, you and I were sitting there, and you just said it just looks so different coming off his hand. It looks really effortless, right?
Yeah, and by no listen, by no point am I going to anoint this dude king.
Right.
Like, you know me. Yep. You know me. I don't sit there and oh, wow, look at this. But it's hard to ignore the arm talent, right? I've been in locker rooms with Josh Allen and Cam Newton and watched what it looks like when the ball zips out of those dudes' hands and how effortless they make it look. And when you see Dylan Raiola throw the football, there's a lot of that to him. And, you know, that's great. There's a lot of guys with good arm talent. Now, can he make the decisions and do everything that comes with it? I thoroughly believe it. You know, talking with some guys that's like, hey, is he a dude, like dude, and not just a talented dude? Everyone sings the guy's high praises. He says he works his tail off. He's constantly in the meeting room, constantly working to get better. And, you know, when you have arm talent like that, you can do really special things. Like, you can put balls where they need to be, and you can threaten deep, and you can do all the things. You know, watching him move within the pocket was interesting. You know, I think he still needs to learn how to move with his eyes downfield a little bit better because he's not a guy that's going to take off and get you 35 or 40. I think he's a guy that can take off and get you 10 or 15, and then I hope he slides and never gets hit. But, you know, you want a guy that can move within the pocket and throw the ball down the field. But when he turns and lets one go, it doesn't even look like he's trying, and that thing goes 50 or 60. So very excited that he's here. You know, when you get a recruit like that and the potential's through the roof, and, you know, I was talking with a bunch of scouts from Pro Day that came, and I was like, hey, I was Nebraska's Pro Day, and they all just kind of looked at me like, that quarterback, bud. And so, you know, it's one of those things where when you've got NFL guys that do this for a living that can also see the arm talent on display in a true freshman like that, you know that you've got something special, and now it's just our job to develop him as a leader, as a player, as an athlete, as a quarterback.
And look, you know, this coaching staff has said it. They're all three guys are rotating with the ones. There is not a starter by any means. There's not even going to be a starter at the end
of
spring.
It's April. You know, starters are named in August.
It's going to be a battle. But to me, though, since I've been here, and you can correct me that I'm wrong, this is the most talented quarterback room Nebraska's had for a while, right?
I would think so. Yeah. You know, it's hard for me to say because both Dylan and Danny haven't played in a game. Right. So it's hard to say we have the most talented quarterback room when you have two guys that have never played a snap of college football.
True.
Right. And so that's what makes it tough to now raw talent, like arm talent, probably, you know, but it's hard for me to elevate some of those guys above a Casey Thompson or above a Logan Smothers or someone that I've seen play in a college football game. So I think by the end of this fall, all three of those guys will play at one point. I think that's a safe thing to say, is that all three of those guys at one point in time will all play this year, with the redshirt rule being what it is, and you can play in four games. You know, so I would love to see all four of those guys get time, and then at this time next year, you and I sitting here going, yeah, all four of those guys, Big Ten experience, college football experience, no telling what this room could look like.
We've heard Marcus Satterfield, Glenn Thomas, a number of the players, even Heinrich Harburg, that these true freshmen and should be seniors in high school, they've been really impressed with how they've handled themselves, and they seem so much further along than a lot of typical what would be seniors in high school or freshmen, how they've just handled themselves throughout this. Were you pretty impressed with how they managed things out there on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I remember at this point during my senior season, I think I was taking like three classes. I was home by like 2 p.m., eating cereal, playing Halo 3, like just getting ready for basketball practice or something. So, you know, to come out here and be the leader of young men, and most of them being 2 to 3 years older than you, and them all looking to you for the answers and how to operate and all those things, to have that on your shoulders and to walk in there and just wear it, I was really impressed with not just how they practice, but the way that they carried themselves.
Okay, let's move on. How about we do running backs? And yeah. 21, Emmett Johnson jumped out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's weird to look at our running back room when you look on the sideline and there's Gabe and Ramir, right? And you're like, well, is this running back room, it's not complete. Right. But with the guys that we do have, you know, in 21 with Emmett Johnson, looked like right now, if we had to go play a game on Saturday, I'm pretty sure he'd be RB1. right? The way that he's working and the experience he had last year, he still needs to get a little bigger up top. You know, I still think he's a little skinny up top to be a bell cow back in the Big Ten. But you see the flashes of his cut, his one cut ability and get north and south. You know, but Dante Dowell was another one, 23, the transfer in from Oregon. You know, he was one that he ripped off, I think, two long touchdown runs where, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, run by the guy, tagged you off. I mean, it was break through the hole, get north and south. And he looks to me more like the downhill bruiser, right? I think he's going to be a little more built at the lower half. He's got good vision for one cut. But, you know, I don't think I saw him bounce it once. I saw him go, there's the hole, right through there. So, you know, good compliment right now with Emmett and Dante, and really excited to see what that whole running back room can look like as a whole when Gabe can get back healthy and Ramir can get back healthy. It's going to be a fun position battle to watch through August.
Of course, Dowdell, the transfer from Oregon, had a lot of hype surrounding him, but you said that multiple times while we were standing there, great run, which sometimes running backs drive you crazy with how they, but you liked how those guys are running the football on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I liked that we were running the football as an offense on Saturday, right? I mean, I almost wore my hat, run the damn ball, but I was like, I haven't been there in a while. I should probably wait. You know, I don't want to get off on the wrong foot too early. So, you know, really excited that we put an emphasis on the running game, because no matter who steps out there at quarterback, whether it's Harburg, whether it's Raiola or Danny, like, we have to have a good run game. We can't expect those three guys to go throw the football 60 times a game and win. Right, and that's just not fair to them. I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm not saying they're not capable of doing it. It's just not fair to ask them to do in the Big Ten. We need to have a balanced attack. We need to be a 60-40 run-pass type of football team early in those quarterbacks' career. Now, if they all turn out to be dudes, sure, let's let them air it out and do their thing. But at the same time, that's not how Rule wants this. That's not how Rule's ever wanted this, right? He knows what Nebraska is. He knows what this is about. We have to have a running game that we can rely on and go back to time and time again.
Absolutely. And you said it, this running back room is going to look a lot different come the fall with the additions of some of the guys that are getting healthy right now. Quentin Ives continues to come along, but I mean, we saw it last year. You need multiple running backs, and you need, running backs that can do different things too.
Yeah. It's got to be running back by committee. Right? Think about the Michigan, right? They had Blake Corum and Edwards, right? Every college football team now has at least two to three backs that can be guys and come in and contribute because they get hurt. That's just nature of the position. It's why they won't get paid in the NFL. It's why you see them out of the NFL real quickly. It's a brutal physically position. I mean, you're getting beat up a lot, you know, so you got to have guys that you feel like can go in there. And again, it's all about eliminating the drop off from your tier one running backs to your tier two, to your tier three. You don't want drastic drop offs in talent level and production between those three or four guys.
Okay, let's talk tight ends, and let's start with Thomas Fedoni, big key that's coming back, and we talked a lot about him periodically through last season, his first full season healthy, and you know, you and I both have had knee injuries. It takes a full year to really feel in game shape. So I feel like, and you think about it, he wasn't even full go a year ago. So I feel like we're probably just now starting to see full go, fully healthy, full throttle Thomas Fedoni.
Yeah, and it's not even as much when I say, and you know what I'm talking about. Anyone that's had a major surgery knows what I'm talking about. It's not when we say full go, it's not the doctor said, oh, you're full go and right, you're cleared. It's does my brain trust my body to do what I need it to do? Right? Does my brain trust that I can do the exact same movement that I tore my ACL doing without like guarding it or moving? It just takes time to retrain your body to not think about it anymore. And I agree with you. He looked really good running around. You know, last year I thought he had a little bit of a hitch in his giddy up sometimes, you know, running the routes or getting off the ball. But he looked very fluid throughout practice. He got over the middle a couple times. You know, I think they threw a tight end screen to him once and get the ball in his hands, you know, but he is just so long and lanky. Right, he walks by you and he looks like Gumby, right? He's just got limbs that go everywhere, and he just looks like the prototypical Y tight end that you would want to have on your football team.
And we saw him make some incredible catches, but we talked a lot about it. I think he'll be the first to tell you one area that he probably needs to continue to improve in is that blocking and the pass protection, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every tight end ever needs to improve in blocking, if you ask any offensive lineman that's ever played next to him. you know, it's just one of those things where you expect a lot of those guys. And, you know, it's a tough position. They have to know besides the quarterback, they have to know the most out of anyone else on the field.
Yeah.
Right. They got to know the blocking assignments for the box. They have to know the route tree and they have to know the protections. Right. It's a very demanding mental position, even though some may not think it is. And, you know, so for him to get his first year playing of mentally knowing what's going on and now physically going out there, he just has to have the want to. Blocking at a tight end is not as much about the technique as much as the desire and the will, right? And as an offensive lineman, if you look at a tight end and he's just fighting his butt off to get the guy blocked, right? And it might not be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. But he just has the desire and the will and the fight to just throw his head across and run his feet and stay in front of him. That's going to get the job done a lot of the time. And that's what I need to see more out of Thomas Fedoni this fall and early this spring, is just the fight, the desire, and the will to block these defensive ends.
All right. And we always talk about depth, right? How'd you like the other tight ends that you saw running out there?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's a room that I didn't see a ton of 22 or 12 personnel. I think we ran in a lot of 11 personnel. You know, but overall, I think that room's in a good place. I think that that's a room that I don't have a ton of question marks about right now. It's one of those things that you're just going to have to kind of wait and see how much they get used in the fall.
Right. Okay. Wide receivers. How about wide receivers? And they got some weapons. There's Isaiah Nair.
Looks like he was created in a test tube and said, You catch footballs. And he goes, yes, I do. You've got 36-inch arms, right? That dude's, he's so long. He can run. He looks like he's going to be like a 4.5, maybe low 4.4s dude. And he comes in and out of his breaks very, very smoothly for a tall guy, right? And he's called the eye test, right? Every time you walk onto a football field, the first thing you do is you just kind of look around, right? Like, okay, who, quote unquote, looks the part? And he is absolutely a guy that looks the part. He's cut up, he's big, he's lean, and he's long, right? And then you watch him on the tape and you watch him on the field and he's getting deep, he's getting open, he's getting one step on receivers on long routes, short routes, creating separation. He's going to be wide receiver one for us this year based off my very little experience of just watching. If I had to put a stamp on something that I felt the utmost certainty about this offense is that he will be wide receiver one going into the fall. You know, you also have Jamal Banks, right? You have Jamal, or not Banks.
Yeah, Jamal Banks.
Jamal Banks, right. The Wake Forest receiver transfer. He also very good, speedy guy, in and out of his breaks well. You know, that was a position we needed a big upgrade in athleticism at. Guys that could take the top off the defense, and you pair them with a young guys like Jalen Lloyd and Malachi Coleman, right? And you're going, okay, those dudes are coming along. You added some more dudes into that room. You know, now we're giving these quarterbacks something to work with on a more consistent basis and open the route tree a little bit more, allowing these guys to go use that athleticism, that speed, and that length to go up there and make some good catches.
Jamal Banks is listed at 6'4". I interviewed him. He's a big dude, too. And he told me one of the things that he's really working on is, you know, the yards after the catch. And I found it pretty interesting because he's on the competitive teams that they split up. He's on Heinrich Harburg's team. And Heinrich said, or he was to start, they might have switched it up since then. But yeah, he told
good me, luck keeping up with that.
I know. But it started off that way. And I mean, that was one of the practices that I went to. You could see that Heinrich felt already really comfortable throwing him the ball. And he said, you just got to give him a chance and he's going to go up and make those plays. And that's big for an offense to have a guy like that to where, hey, the throw doesn't have to be perfect. He's going to go make a play on it.
Yeah. And the more trust that you give in a quarterback, that if you're that receiver and you're just doing and making those catches and making the contested hard catches, the quarterback's just going to fall in love with you and you're going to get more targets. And I've never met a receiver that's going to say no to more targets, right? So, you know, that's big that you can develop that rapport. And when things start to break down, you can just look around and be like, where's 80? There he is. I'm just going to throw it over to him because I know he's going to go up and compete for that football. So love to hear that. Love those guys that are just going to continue to build in chemistry, continue to build rapport with all of these quarterbacks. So no matter who rolls out there, they've got two big body targets to go out there and throw the football to.
We've heard so much about Demetrius Bell going back to last fall and what he was doing on the scout team and throughout practices. You've got Jalen Lloyd, Jaden Doss, and then Malachi Coleman. That's going to be a fun group to watch. I think they've got some really, really nice playmakers in that room that they're going to be able to scheme around.
Yeah, and you're going to be able to put different personnel groups in. You know, that's one thing last year we didn't really talk about it a lot. It's not something that you really pay attention to unless you're looking at it more objectively, is you want to have multiple different skill group positions that run out there. You know, like, so, hey, I want to have Dawes and Banks and Malachi in on this play, right? And then I want to have Nair and Lloyd and Malachi on this position grouping, right? And it's different things, whether it's the way they block or it's a receiver screen or it's a route concept, right? You want to be able to rotate those guys in so that you can maximize what guys do best, right? So that's going to be really good, because last year was kind of the same guys going out there, right? It's like, all right, we only have so many. Go.
Yeah, because right? Everybody got hurt.
Everyone got hurt. Yeah, you're just like, whatever we got, get on out there and we'll figure it out as we go, right? So to be able to have a good stable of receivers that you can trust and feel comfortable with, it's just going to keep defenses off balance.
Valentino's, a slice of home you just can't get anywhere else. What started with a treasured family recipe in Lincoln, Nebraska, has become a classic Italian tradition for 65 years.
Okay, let's move it on to the big boys up front. A couple guys maybe held out. This is a time, right, that some of the older guys you don't necessarily want to...
You don't need to beat them down. You don't got to beat us up. You don't got to beat us
down. Okay. I was trying to think of a way to phrase it.
Yeah, you know, we don't need more pounding on the head. The CTE is already there. We don't need to speed it up, right?
Yeah.
So, like, guys like Ben Scott, Bryce Benhart, that have played a ton of football. I will say this. I'm slightly salty about Bryce Benhart because I'm 90% sure. I'll have to go back and double check. Because he came back for his sixth year, I think he's going to break my start record at Nebraska.
I think he already did.
Did he break it already?
I think he did last year.
I thought he was one short last year. But anyways, because
we'll
of the sixth
Greg.
Year.
Greg's the expert
Greg
on that.
Greg's the stat nerd. But anyways, I'm excited he's back. Ben Scott coming back is huge. You know, Micah, the Florida transfer, he looks the part, right? Passes the eye test. And you know, when you lose Nuri and you lose Ethan Piper, you know, we have positional need at the guard position, right? And Evan Jenkins is a guy that got some good snaps last year. You know, he's got good snaps last year. He really came in a tight spot. I think that he can also rotate in at center if we need him, so he brings that positional flex. You know, and then good to see Teddy Prohaska out there for a spring.
Yeah.
Like, the dude's been beat up. You know, he hasn't had this. The spring is such a developmental time for players to not have that and just get thrown in during training camp and be like, here we go. It's a hard thing to do for young players. So it's good to see him out there getting those reps, getting those meaningful reps against good guys coming off the edge like Lenhart and Judy, you know, and Sherman and Jamari Butler. Like, those are all just really good things for Teddy and his growth and maturity of a player as we go forward.
Here we go. I found it. Benhart's 41 starts are tied with Jeremiah Searles for the most starts by an offensive lineman in program history.
I wish I got 6 years. I wish I got Van Wilder college forever. Nope, sure didn't. So, yeah, pretty salty about that, not going
to
lie.
You're about to lose your name being at the top of the record books.
He gets an asterisk. COVID. COVID, baby. 6 years. Do it in five, then talk to me.
But anyways... Back to the
so much salt.
Real stuff.
Real football.
So you and I have had so many conversations about the depth and how many you need, and it's a work in progress. Like, it's not something, the depth, that you can snap your fingers and it's over and an overnight fix. Do you feel like, and I know it's early, but we're seeing the progress being made and having some consistency with Donovan Raiola, do you feel like this is a group that will have the depth that you are looking for to be able to run through a Big Ten football season?
I think we're still a couple. It's going to be a weird thing to say. I think we're still a year away from that, because I think we have good players, but they're just young. And an offensive line group is not like a wide receiver, right? Jalen Lloyd came in fast, right? The kid's fast. He can run. You can get away with that at the wide receiver position as a true freshman because you're fast. If you come in and you're a really talented offensive lineman, you're athletic, you have the tools, but you're 290 pounds and you've still got your baby fat on you because you're only 19, and you're not one of those guys that physically matured so early, it just takes a couple of years to get into hard and body shape to be an offensive lineman. And I look at some of the young guys we have, like Gunner, and you know, I look at some of the younger cats, and they look the part, but you can just tell it's like you just need to get a little stronger. You got to get a little more juice to you. And the good news is it's April, and you can get a lot stronger between April and September, right? That you really can. And so I think that we're close. I think in one more year, I'll feel a lot better about it. You know, but I think that it wouldn't surprise me if we go get a couple of depth positions in the transfer portal after the spring, you know, looking for some guards and looking for some interior depth pieces.
But in terms of, you know, we just talked about how some of these older guys don't have to play, shouldn't be expected to play all the reps in the spring. How good is this time for developing those young offensive linemen?
Yeah, that's a great point, Jess. No, that's a fantastic time to do this with those young guys, is to give them a ton of reps, right? Give them a ton of reps right now and make it as game-like as possible to watch them develop in real time. And then come fall camp, right, that's when you start getting the starters, start getting your group of five, your best five put together. If we get that congruency, get going with them, you know, that's not when you want to rotate a bunch of guys in. Springtime's a perfect time for those developmental young guys to go out there and do it and really start to hone in on what do I need to work on after spring ball, right? Like, you get a chance, if you, like, Gunner is going to play a ton of snaps, the young cat, and he's going to be after spring, like, okay, man, my upper body punch is not there. I got to work on that through the summer, or my second step on inside zone, or my pass set, or whatever it may be. You're going to have a laundry list of things of, like, man, I really need to get better at X, Y, Z. And the only way you're going to know that is through all the reps that you've taken. So it's going to be great for those guys to take all these reps that some of the other guys don't get beat up on when they don't need to be at this point. And it's just going to pay off dividends for us if they do need to play as young players in August, October, those type of months.
To be, and correct me if I'm wrong, though, it's starting to look, though, numbers-wise and just, you know, potential talent-wise, what you would hope an offensive line room starts to look like at this point, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right? It looks the part. It looks, there's big guys on the edges. We got two tall tackles. We got an experienced center. We got to bring some young guys in at guard, you know, but it just looks like we're starting to have a culture that within their own, like, culture within the culture, that's their old line room. Like, you're your own culture. And it's starting to see, you're seeing guys hold each other accountable, and everyone's bought into what Coach Rayola is doing and playing for each other, policing each other, talking to each other about things on the side after a one-on-one rep. Hey, put your hand here. Hey, I saw your foot didn't land there. And that's just the sign of everyone being bought in. And when you have that going for you, then you're just, it's really easy to just sit back and coach the room when everyone's just doing what you're asking them to do.
Okay, talk to me about just throughout spring and for an offense, what the process is like, you know, now that they've been a year with Marcus Satterfield, and, you know, how many tweaks are being made, what, and, you know, just in your experience, what's kind of the process like throughout a spring to implement, to work through, and kind of get more familiar with a playbook?
Yeah, you know, I think Satterfield's got an interesting dilemma in front of him. You know, he wants to, with Harburg, who's been in his playbook now for over a year, and just be like, hey, let's open this thing up, right? Let's open this thing up and start putting some window dressing on certain things and add some motions and, hey, some checks against this coverage or this front and get to that. And then at the same time, he's got two kids that have been here for like 12 weeks. Right. So he's got this dilemma of, like, hey, how much do I put on these young kids' plates versus Harvard's plate? Or do I have two different installations? Or how do I go through here? You know, but I think he's probably done a really nice job of a little balance of the two. Right. Like, pushing the young kids a little bit and the freshmen of, hey, let's see how much I can put on your plate before you crack, or if you can handle it, great, let's roll. And also making sure that Harburg's getting a fair shot of elevating himself and developing his game and his personal football IQ to take that next step for him to see if he can be the guy too. So, you know, Sat's got an interesting job of installing the offense, make sure everyone understands it, but also trying to evaluate the quarterback position on not necessarily a truly level playing field just because of how young these quarterbacks are.
Okay, so then how do you also go about figuring out how this offense is going to look when you have three different quarterbacks that are in a battle that all are different, right? I mean, and I know we've seen that before, and it's pretty typical for quarterback rooms not to have just three exactly cookie cutter type quarterbacks, but we've seen what Heinrich can do with his feet, and then obviously the two younger guys, a little bit more, you know, bigger arms maybe as the, when they come in. But how do you go about figuring out how to implement an offense and what works with those three different quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's a lot of throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks, right? Hey, what do these three guys like to operate and what makes them their best operators and most efficiently? And it's going to be different for each one. But we have to have staples within the offense, both in the run game and in the pass game, that it doesn't matter who the trigger man is week on lineup. It doesn't matter what defense we get. It doesn't matter if it's cover one, cover two. It doesn't matter if it's five-man or four-man fronts. We have to just have staples that we can rely on every time, whether that be an inside zone or an outside zone or a downhill duo or slants or digs or posts. We have to develop that of our DNA and our core principles of what we are. And, you know, I think he's still working to see what that is. But every quarterback will bring a wrinkle. And until we name a true starter, until we have a feeling in training camp of who the guy's going to be, it's going to be just a little bit looking like chaos for Satterfield until he can start narrowing the scope of the plays for the quarterback that he picks.
So this is just for educational purposes, but you've been in a lot of different rooms, a lot of different offenses. Is it more so where you have like the main offensive playbook and then it's like you have the different chapters for the different quarterbacks? So these are the plays that we're going to do with this quarterback, and these are the plays we do with this quarterback, but there's this big chunk that everybody can do.
Yeah, so there's the big chunk that everyone can do, and then it's more along the lines of, okay, quarterback, what do you like? And it's like, well, I really like this group of plays. Okay, we'll put that in your category. All right, quarterback two, what plays do you really like? I really like this group of plays, and then you move it there, right? They're not different plays. It's just selecting the right place.
Right. Okay.
Right. It's not, I mean, unless you're talking about like Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady, right? Like then, yeah, now you're talking apples and oranges, right? But I mean, Harburg and Dylan Raiola, right? You're probably not going to have as much triple option in, but you still have enough that you can run the zone read, right? So it's just a matter of what do we get to, right? Versus that. And, you know, there are some more elimination, but it's more along the lines of just what do we continue to call more of, deciding on what quarterback's in the game.
And then for everybody else that's figuring out on the offense how to work with these three quarterbacks, what's that process like for the rest of the offense?
Yeah, the rest of the offense, you want to just do your job and you need to know, I need to be able to do it all, right? I need to be able to do the entire playbook. It may never be called again besides day one installation of spring football, right? We may install it day one, but and come by the end of the season, we've never run it one time. But I need to do it at the best of my ability because I'm not going to allow Coach Satterfield and Coach Rule to evaluate the quarterbacks at their best ability if the other 10 guys are not doing their best, right? It's really hard to judge the quarterback if the receivers are running the wrong route or if the offensive line is missing protection. It's hard to judge what run game and what run plays do we want to get to if there's free runners in the hole because it's ID'd poorly or someone misses a block, right? It's your job when you have a quarterback battle. And I remember being involved in this in 2010 when it was Cody Green, Zach Taylor, and Taylor Martinez. And I can, Zach Lee, excuse me. And I can remember all of us talking like we have to give the best practice we have every single day so that we can figure out who the quarterback's going to be that's going to give us the best chance of winning the most football games. Hmm. And that's the mentality you have to take into every practice so that you don't hamstring maybe a quarterback that's really talented and he's just getting poor looks because the other guys around him are not performing at a high enough level.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, I think that about wraps up everything for me in terms of the offense, but we will get back together and have a defensive breakdown, right?
Yes, yes. And I'm going to try and make it out to a few more practices where there's not 800 people talking and trying to grab you at any time and just chit-chat about one thing. I'm like, it's third down period. Leave me alone. Right? Like, so we'll get back to it. We'll watch the defense. We'll do another breakdown.
All right. Well, good stuff. We'll circle back. We'll be back next week or shortly. We haven't nailed down a date yet. We'll be back
soon.
We'll get
it done. I promise. Before the spring game, it will be done.
And we will break down everything we've seen and taken away from spring practice so far with Tony White's defense. All right, that is going to do it for us in this episode of the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. For Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootie. Thanks for listening and watching. Where's your Go Big Red?
I did. I said it.
We didn't hear it.
I said it. He must have muted me. Did you mute me, Russ?
Kate, do it on.
Muted me.
Do it. I'll edit it in.
Go Big Red.